What's up, Doc Girdles? It's Will. Just wanted to let you know that the episode you're about to listen to rambles a little bit through the middle when Andy and I are trying to set up Instagram Live. There are links in it that are no doubt dead. There's no show notes, and the episode itself is almost 2 years old. So with all of those things in mind, we hope you enjoy. And Andy and I look forward to being back in your podcast inboxes on a regular basis here before too long.
Check one.
Check one.
Check cash credit. Check.
Personal check. Cashier's check.
Business check.
Safety check. Okay.
Slovakia check.
Slovakia. Swizek. Swizek. Hope that makes
Slovenia,
it to the show.
Slovenia. You just messed up all sorts of consonants right there.
Do you want to... Can you move closer? Or do you want to...
No, this is about the best I can do.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Are we recording?
We are.
All right. Make a timestamp.
I don't know how. Oh, I do. I need your pencil.
Yeah, I thought I did that already.
So it'd probably be more high tech if I did this in my living room.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly as cool as this is.
No, this is fun. All right. 3, 2... Hey, welcome to Doc Grid, a podcast at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Wolf Enge, and after 3 years, 20 episodes, and countless iMessages, I am finally sitting across from my friend and my co-host, Mr. Andy Wilfley.
Yay! Hooray! Here we are, hashtag Doc Grid IRL.
We're here together thanks to my lovely company sending me to LA for 4 or 5 days. And I figured, you know, screw it. I'll take $40 and hop up and hang out with Andy and his lovely wife for a couple of days.
And cats.
So I'm in San Francisco. We're recording this live in a really cool place Andy's going to tell a little bit more about. But hey, all your drishes. That's dreams and wishes.
Yeah, drishes.
All your dreams.
Or weems.
Weems. It's
in the north. That's what we call them.
Right. Okay. So all of your dreams and wishes are coming true. We're not just recording live. Like, we're not sitting in Andy's living room. We're like in a legit recording studio.
It's like half legit.
It's not illegitimate.
So, there is a streaming radio station in San Francisco called BFF.FM, which is, probably more legit than like a community access radio station and less legit than say your NPR affiliate. So they have a couple studios. My friend and maybe listener, Chris has a show here. And he brought me here one day and I just wow. Will describe the room around you right now.
So the sign on the door says it's an existential detective agency.
It's like if you've ever read Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. I don't know if it's like a similar thing, but
there's a really cool sliding door on rails. There's a mounted, I don't know, let's call that a kingfisher. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
It's a thing, it's a kingfisher. Totally a thing. It's very kind of vintage styled, but there's also two boom arms and two mics that are far more expensive than what I typically record with, and a giant puff filter that keeps me from popping into the microphone. There's two of those. Andy won't be popping either, but we do want to warn you, levels might not be great and there might be some background noise because the recording setup is
rudimentary. Yeah, for being a recording studio, there's a lot of noise bouncing. It's like to make it look this cool, they couldn't soundproof it very well, I'm sure.
No, that's how it works. So there might be some background noise, might be a couple of times that one of us clears our throat and doesn't back away from the mic far enough, but we figured we would get right up on the microphones and talk rather than sit far farther back, that way you don't hear everything that's going on out in the alley styled hallway. It's cool.
It's very themed.
Come to San Francisco, bother Andy, make him take you here.
Yes.
Or don't be a bother, whichever. So yeah, that's the big announcement. We are sitting in the same room together. We're going to record an episode about some cool topics surrounding creativity, but we thought that maybe we would do what we typically do and catch up with any follow-up and do a little bit of pencils and pixels, and we jump right in. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Let's see. So we're doing follow-up last time. Last episode was about New Year's resolutions. It seems like that's the kind of thing that you would naturally follow up on. Although, as we determined in the episode, neither Andy nor myself typically set resolutions.
So it was a great episode. So
spectacular. Worked out really well. Follow-up is certainly necessary here. I did shortly after the new year decide that I was going to attempt to solidify, and this is hot talk for the podcast. I decided I was going to solidify all of my calendar and notes and reminders into like one area, which is not typically easy to do, but I picked up the Google ecosystem. Hmm. Yeah, Google Keep is still a thing.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was, I mean, I haven't used it since it just came out.
Right. No, it's gotten better. You can like embed images and PDFs and stuff in it now. I just keep it organized by email address, because I have a personal email address. I have one work email address. I have the UX booth email address. So I just keep everything segmented.
Yeah.
And it helps me stay focused on work stuff when I'm doing Envision stuff, and then helps me sort of keep home stuff separate if when I have time for that. It's cool. So I'm using Inbox and Google Calendar and Google Keep, and it all kind of shows up in the same place. So it helps me stay focused on what I need to do. But that's about the only change that I have that I've stuck with.
Do you think Google would ever support an Exchange account?
Oh, God, it's such a competitor. I mean,
it just seems like it would be in their best interest, because
if Gmail didn't exist,
yeah,
then they'd be all over it. But if Gmail didn't exist, then they wouldn't be Google.
But it's like they got to know that there are people who can't get out of an Exchange, for example, Adobe employees.
Right.
But they still want to use Inbox for all their stuff. And that just seems like it would get people like in their app, even if they didn't have like an actual email. But
yeah, I got Andy hot on that Inbox stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I've been using on the work computer.
So hot.
I should, you know what? I'm not going to tell any more about it, because that just became my Pixels pick.
Damn it.
Yeah, I had two, or I had one, and then I had another one, and then Andy and I sort of talked about it at, I was going to say lunch, but if we had beer for, well, I guess beer for lunch is very San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco homeless, but it's San Francisco.
Yes.
So we had
coffee beforehand.
We had a coffee, and then we had beer. So, you know, we're doing San Francisco upright. So that's pretty much it for follow-up. We don't have a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you guys would ask us more questions or inquire with us about our lives more, we'd have more follow-up.
Well, how would they get a hold of us?
Well, the best way to do it is to tweet at us. We are at DocGrid Podcast. Andy is at A Wellfley. Will is at Will at Will Fangy. We have email addresses if anybody still sends email.
No
one does. Twitter's best. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. We have a Facebook page, don't we?
We do.
For DocGrid?
Do we? I have no idea. I think so.
If we have it, we'll put it in the show notes. That's for sure.
And now our podcast is old enough to drink.
Right.
We're at episode 21.
We are. Oh, right. We have to talk about the Spectrum chat area, spectrum.chat.
Oh, yeah. I haven't logged into that for a while.
Me either. If you've been trying to get in touch with us via Spectrum, we apologize.
Yeah. Sorry. I should get an email if that happens. But so if you wanted to find show notes on this episode.
Here it comes.
You go to the very, very special URL.
And freshly purchased. I was sitting in Andy's living room when he purchased it. He looked at me very confidently and assuredly and said, I just bought our domain for this week.
So find the show notes and a recording of this episode at .gridirl.party. Because this is an IRL party.
I'm happy with it. IRL is here in real life.
If you wanted to find last week's, it was a late purchase, but I just had to get it. We were talking about the Skype wheeze, and I think that was even our intro was me going...
It was me.
That was you?
That was me going.
Nice.
And not that way.
So I thought Skype Wheeze would be a good band name. So you can find last week's show notes at skypewheeze.band.
Right. Skype. Yeah. In addition to .grid is not just for .men.
Yes.
So
yes.
Two different URLs. So good to know that any capital we make on this podcast
goes straight to Namecheap.
Speaking of capital... Andy Wellfley just finished getting some plumbagos out the door. And in the process, I understand he sent some of you some stickers.
Yeah.
So we're going to plug the stickers and the swag again.
Good call.
We have two different shaped DocGrid stickers. They're what, about 2-inch, 3-inch stickers?
Two and a half-ish.
Two and a half-ish. We're just going to average it out.
So yeah.
It makes more sense. Both one that's more analog, like a notebook page with DocGrid on it. One that's a little more digital. It's shaped like a smartphone.
And preferably you would display them next to each other.
Right. So that people can see the contrast. Yes. I have one on my personal laptop and then the other one on the back of my iPad.
Oh.
Conveniently, I have them switched for formats.
Yeah.
So I have the notebook one on the laptop and the digital one on the back of the iPad.
Okay.
No, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
One of those was going to be digital.
Yeah.
Just had to be. I guess I think my iPad is paper now. Oh,
we also have 1-inch buttons.
Tiny 1-inch buttons, which
I have one of those in my backpack.
You have one of everything on your backpack.
It's true.
Yeah, Andy has a lot of wonderful acrylic pins and buttons and things on his backpack. Maybe if we think about it, we should put a picture of that in the show notes too.
That's a good idea.
We're gonna be working on show notes together.
Yeah.
I guess I like I said, I love to have more editing to do, but we're recording on one track in the same place. So all I'm gonna do is run it through some levels and make sure you don't live. Yeah, make sure you don't hear us going in the background the whole time. I can't do it. I've been yelling. for 4 days.
It's true. My cats hate it.
Yeah, it's not
Katie's great. Just like, why are you so angry all the time?
You're so loud. Elizabeth tells me until this time I've been calling her on the phone. She's like, every time I need you to be loud, you are just so quiet. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so tired. Envision IRL had 500 people and I'm so much more of an introvert than I used to be.
Yeah.
Which is making anyone in my family now crack up laughing and or raise an eyebrow because introvert is not a word
compared to them
I've ever used to publicly describe myself.
Yeah.
So that's our plug. That's our show notes. Did some follow up. We have to do pencils and pixels next.
Pencils and pixels. Still haven't
haven't bought the jingle.
Too busy with my domains.
Right. You guys should probably just be happy if our theme song is on the front of this because we have to airplay this to ourselves before we leave. I don't know how the production portion of this is going to go, but we're going to sit and watch the Olympic opening ceremony tonight and edit a podcast and do San Francisco things.
Yeah.
So anyway. Pencils and pixels. Andy has a much more concrete selection in both of these than I do. So it's so weird, guys. We do pixels and girls, everyone. Guys is a generic genderless
term. Grid is not just for dot men, Will.
Right. When I say guys, I mean it in a generic, non-gender conforming, non-binary way. So pencils and pixels, Andy and I both literally just decided to put together starting last night.
There's nothing like planning ahead.
Right. And I have done, Andy, if I haven't told you this already, approximately -4 seconds of research for this episode. So I've had it tossed around in my brain for 3 weeks, but we never decided it was absolutely going to be a topic. So that'll be fun. But anyway, pencils and pixels, we can start with this. I will do my analog pick first, since we both agree that it's pretty baller.
Yes.
For as small as it is. I have, I think it's called an IntelliKey or a smart key. Hold on. This is real life podcasting happening. I'm taking it out of my pocket. It is the IntelliKey. It's the Swiss Tech IntelliKey. And it looks and it's shaped just like a key, but it has, if you get it and get it out of the package, it has two sizes, a flathead screwdriver, a Phillips head screwdriver, a short blade that has part straight, part serrated is the word they use for that. A can opener and a Phillips head screwdriver. It's the size of a key. I have no problem taking it through an airport. And when you get a beer in a bar and they don't get the lid all the way off, you're really grateful when you have it.
You're like, ka-chunk.
Right. Or if you need to break into the smoke detector in an airplane, so you can use your vape pen in the bathroom.
Why would you do that?
I'm just saying,
for example,
that's an example. I've never done that. Federal Aviation Authority, do not come and find me. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. I got it from my Secret Santa, one of the year that I worked at PictoChart. So I got that and my Fisher Space Pen, which I also endorse, but not nearly as much as the IntelliKey, probably because I got a medium cartridge and not a fine.
Yeah.
And I'm not a medium ballpoint guy. There's so much ink.
There's a lot of ink
everywhere and it smells like ink.
Yeah. Just try one of the big wet italic nibs.
Right.
Or just like a Sharpie.
Or a calligraphy pen or a brush pen. No. Oh God. I'm of the Brad Dowdy school of thought, whereas 0.5 is about as 0.05 is about as thick as I want to go.
There's a point one millimeter at that you can buy at Mido, and it's just it's so tiny. I don't know. Pens.
Is it right? Is it
people be writing them? Am I right?
All right. I have one of those. They're archival ink. The pens themselves are lightish, grayish, tannish stuff.
Steel something or other, right?
I forget what the brand is.
Yeah.
But people use them for scrapbooking and archival ink and stuff. And I have one in a really nice blue black.
Huh.
With a little bit of gray in it. That's one of the many things. I traveled here and I knew that I didn't have to do this, but I definitely brought more pencils and pens with me than I knew I would need.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked into Casa de Wellfleet and there's there are crates, folks. There's just crates. And some of them are everywhere. Notebooks, but most of them are pencils.
It's here you can sleep here, but you got to move all these pencils over.
Right. There's pencil art. There are pencil pillows. I'm actually sleeping on a bed constructed of nubs that Andy's not using anymore.
You got to do something with them.
Right. And then there's one of those spike beds out on the patio.
Yeah.
That's just made out of really uneven. Guys, it's you'd think it'd be more therapeutic, but really it just hurts.
Yeah. It's one of those Zen things. I think
the part that really got me was I was on it, but then the cats jumped on me.
Yeah.
And that was what really, so I have holes in my back and I'm bleeding to death.
Yeah. So you better make this fast.
I should not lean back on this chair since we don't live here.
That's true.
So that's my pencils pick. Andy Welfley, what do you, I see that you're live tweeting.
Oh, I was, no, I was trying to look up something on, I was trying to bring up my Dropbox paper document because I couldn't remember what I picked. And right. I do remember now.
That's good because I was going to look it up for you, but that wouldn't do any good.
I have a, I always wanted to try one, even though it's not really targeted toward my kind of stationary use, but a Hobonichi journal. I have the 5-year diary, which each page, like each spread is dedicated to a day and there's 5 sections to write on it. And the idea is you start January 1st at the beginning of the book and work your way back. And then you do this 5 times over and you have like a little blurb about what it is that you, that you've done. So I've always really been into like time hop ever since that was out. And then when Facebook on This Day came out, I don't know why I really like looking, oh yeah, that happened a year ago today or 5 years ago today. We went and did this. This is just like a little bit more personalized way to do that. It's something that I'm going to try to write it every day.
It's like those the standard memorandum books from
the Word.
Yeah.
Word notebooks.
Is that Word who does that? It's not the one that's in Baltimore.
It's not right. It's Word.
Okay. It's Word. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. If either of the people that own or work at those, I love you both.
Yeah.
I like write a little bit more. I tell you, I won a giveaway from them. The Neil deGrasse Tyson notebooks they were giving away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I won one of those. So I'm going to give them a shout out because I guarantee you they didn't give it to me because I partially host a podcast that's partially about stationery.
You should have been like, I'm kind of a big deal.
Right. Well, Word notebooks are great. But we all have agreed that we like the dudes that write a little bit more.
Yeah.
Johnny seems to be pretty close with them. And
yeah.
A crab hammer. I mean,
yeah.
What else is there to say?
That's
crab hammer.
Crab hammer.
So that's cool. That's like your own personal stationary time hop. That'll be fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into your Pixels pick? You want me to pick one of mine?
Why don't you go?
Cool. Sorry about that background noise. That's me slapping my bare knees because I'm
restless knee syndrome.
Yeah, restless knee syndrome. I am going to, in a reference back to things that we talked about earlier, I am going to talk about Boxy, which I introduced you to the other night. That's the inbox wrapper. Or it's the wrapper for Inbox by Gmail so that instead of like setting up a, what is that called when you can set it? What's that app that lets you set up your own instance?
A fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of making a fluid app for, or a fluid instance for Inbox by Gmail, what Boxy does is it lets you sign into all your individual accounts and it's a little bit of a wrapper. So the functionality is the same, but it makes it a little better. It gives you some keyboard shortcuts that you don't normally have in Chrome or in Safari or in your browser of choice. And since I've switched everything over to Inbox and then found a way to turn the Inbox notifications off, did you manually check your email or do you get notifications?
I think I have some sort of like a smart notification turned on. So it does a pretty good job.
Yeah. The way I have things sort of situated in Gmail is I don't get all of the notifications, but more often than not, the notifications that I get are not ones that I want anyway. So I just turn them off on Boxy on my computer.
Yeah.
The app is like either $5 or $6. It might be less than that. It might be $3 on the App Store, but it's very much worth it if you use Inbox by Google or Inbox by Gmail, whatever they call it, because it keeps my reminders at the top of the email list.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, they're synced with in Google Keep and they show up on Google Calendar.
Yeah.
So like if I have to write a post in one day, which we'll talk more about post writing and process for that here in a little bit. But if I have to write a post in a day, I leave that note or the to-do or whatever. And every time I flip a screen, unless I'm in our WordPress backend, I see it just lingering there like, you should write me. And I'm like, shut up. We need to talk. Oh God, sentience. But yeah, so Boxy is my Pixels pick. It's an app for Mac OS. I recommend it. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. Andy Wilfley is currently actively researching his Pixels pick as we speak.
No, actually this time I'm tweeting.
Oh, okay.
I actually switched to that. I am, Hold on. I have now tweeted.
So if you see our tweet from Friday, February the 9th at about 2:37 Pacific, that's the tweet he's talking about
right now. This is live, folks.
Live in person. When you set this up, I thought it was live. I thought they were going to be putting us on the radio station.
Oh, no.
You know, we were going to like bring our own recording back for later.
We could probably have done that, but like nobody.
Oh, we also talked about Instagram living this whole thing.
Oh, shoot. That didn't happen.
No. Well, not the whole thing.
Should we do it now?
I don't think I have enough battery left to do it now. I wander around all day.
I totally can do this now. I don't really have a way to set this up.
No, I hear you do that. And while you're talking about your Pixels pick, I will find a way to Instagram live this in a way that I'm sure won't be embarrassing for anyone.
Where are we?
Pixels pick.
Pixels pick.
Oh, that was the notification that Andy tweeted about us that we just heard.
I think the Wi-Fi here probably is a little slow, so I bet we won't be able to Instagram live this.
I'm on LTE.
Okay.
Whatevs, and I have unlimited. Thanks, Sprint.
Yeah.
Pixels pick. Go, Andy, go.
I'm so distracted right now.
I was only one beer before we got here.
I don't even know
Jesus.
What's happening. I'll just be embarrassed right now. I don't have a Pixels pick because I couldn't think of one. I feel like my technology stack this year so far has been to just sort of like simplify a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm really using any apps or anything that was like, you know, different than last time, or really any different than like 2017. But I guess this is really old hat, but I do like Carrot Weather. I started using that.
I think that was my recommendation last time. That's
I know. So here's me, an early adopter. I created an account on Telegram.
Oh yeah. Is that the one with the airplane? Paper
yes.
Airplane?
Yep. Okay. A friend of mine who is afraid that Facebook's going to sell all of his like chat information to somebody.
Through WhatsApp?
WhatsApp. So, hey, the screen just went out.
No, that's not good. Live as it happens.
Yep. Okay. Turn that back on. I do not have a Pixels pick.
Okay.
Maybe next time I'll pick two.
Yeah. I got to hold you. Do you want to like pick Instagram Live?
Yeah.
We have a follower. It's my nephew. Hi, Soren.
Hey, Soren.
Wait. Hello. Oh, it's 4. I was gonna say it's 4:40 where you are. So I was wondering why you weren't in school, but it's 4:40 where you are.
Get back in school. So here, why don't you live do it mine as well?
Okay. Well, this is gonna be super fun and exciting.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So
Will is currently live Instagramming both of us.
Live.
Yeah.
So nope, didn't work. Hold on.
Here we go. Do you want to turn me off Wi-Fi too?
I can.
Okay.
I gotta remember how to do
this. The show. Everything that's on the show is on the show,
on
folks.
This old phone that you have. Disconnecting nearby Wi-Fi by tomorrow.
My okay. super old my 7 plus phone.
I feel like yours should be pointed at you and mine should be pointed at me.
Ooh, good
although
call.
Right now it's yours is pointing at me. Here, fix this. Do a thing. Oh, I was covering up the camera. Sorry. Here, make sure I'm looking at me.
Hey, yep, you're
does
looking
that,
at
does
you.
Does that look like me?
Yep, okay. That looks like you. We should really just...
should I do front-facing camera?
I don't know.
I feel like front-facing camera makes more sense. Can
you
I do that?
Here, why don't you... Here it is. This is what you should do. You should turn yours off, and you should go watch my live update.
Okay.
And then I will invite you to chat.
Okay, so that means I'll be back in just a second for the two
Rob that I'm watching. Rob Fangy is joining us on live.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. He is now looking at your lovely face.
Hey, buddy.
Say hi to your brother.
Hi, bro.
Hey, brother. Do you ever
not that part, no. we're going to share this or save it? We're going to share this. So people are going to see the live video there. So I need to watch your live video.
Yeah.
Which I'm doing.
Yep.
Hey, look, that's me.
And then I'm going to...
Okay. Request to be in Andy's video. Send request.
Yeah.
This can be your Pixels pick.
View. Go live with Will Fangy.
Accepting your request to video. You'll start sharing their live video soon. Okay. So you're going to do me and you. Oh my gosh. There's two things here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I can see me and me. You're going to want to turn yours around to focus on you.
Yeah. Okay. So... I don't want internal sound. I'm going to turn off my sound here.
Okay.
Rob is on the parade route with a terrible signal. So y'all have a blast.
Tell us to have a good time.
Yeah. So even if you're watching this and even if we are not facing the same direction, we are in the same place.
Right. I'm right here behind him. Hi. I just hit my head on that lamp again.
You're going to have a concussion by the time you leave.
BFF.fm, folks, I'm genuinely sorry. So like if people see my, like if people log into my, like if people go to look at my account now, am I still showing his live video as well? Or is it just streaming on you?
I think it may just be streaming on me, but I don't know. Cause I can't go look at it
because I'm not even kidding. I did have two students that were watching our feed just a second ago.
Oh yeah.
Oh, not two students. One was my nephew and one was another student. So,
nice.
If you somehow make it this way, folks, yeah, I've got pretty good battery here. We're gonna live stream the rest of this.
Just do this
and then save it forever. Is there a way for you to ping my, yes, there's my student again. Hi, Sydney.
Hey.
So, do you want to like send my wife a ping and see if she wants to watch this happen? Can you do that from where you are?
I think so.
Can somebody ping Stockroom TN?
Nope, just doing it right. Successfully sent.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Should we actually do a show?
Right. Well, this could have been your Pixels pick.
And my Pixels pick is, funny enough, it is Instagram Live.
It's Instagram Live. That's great. That's something you use often?
Yeah, I use it all the time. Yeah, everybody watches me.
San Francisco boxed water, folks. That's only here, so they can, I don't know.
You can get that elsewhere.
So, hi, honey.
Hey.
Elizabeth's here now. I'm still getting your sound. You know what? That's probably me.
I'm going to
also turned yours off. I've now also turned mine all the way down.
World Katie and Johnny Gamble.
For those of you asking, San Francisco is wonderful. It is definitely better than work. Hi, honey. So I have two wonderful people. Elizabeth is saying, are you getting the same messages that I'm getting?
Yes, yes,
so I am. So you saw Stockroom T and Anna Harlequin?
Okay. Yep.
Anna Harlequin is a former student. She's allowed to do this now because she's over 14.
Hey, welcome.
And Stockroom T and is my lovely wife. So let's talk about creativity.
All right.
Because that's the thing for today.
So this was something that we talked about maybe a couple weeks ago.
Right. This was your idea. So you go ahead and give it that intro.
So I think people like me who are, and Will, and people who are in like, I would say this is like mid-level creative jobs.
Knowledge workers.
Knowledge workers. We have to have like a low to medium level of creativity all of the time instead of being able to have like bursts of high creativity. I don't know if that's like the best way to describe it, but I think that with me, creativity and just like inspiration in general is a little bit cyclical.
Okay.
So I think I'll have like a lot of it for a few days, few weeks, whatever the cycle is. And then I'll just be in a slump for a little while.
Okay.
And it's fine for when I have really like mundane tasks to do. Like I am, just doing emails or setting up like a process or something like that. But if I'm actually trying to like write new things, or try to come up with some sort of a framework or a strategy, it gets a little taxing. So I'm still trying to find a way to best spark that back in me again.
Uh-huh.
I think we're going to today talk about maybe some ways to do that because I should actually figure out how to like track that cycle. Cause I'm really interested if it actually is a cycle or uh-huh. if it just is like, you know, a dry spell and a creative spell and vice versa.
Yeah. I don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Because last week, because I was getting ready for this week. Last week was the first time since I got out of my original 2 weeks worth of training at Envision that I didn't have at least two blog posts, if not three or possibly four out on the blog.
Yeah.
So I have to come up with, I would say on average, between two and four posts a week. I can get away with two, but typically it's four.
Yeah.
Because like that's my job now.
Yeah.
Which is great. I forgot how much I loved writing, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed I've really been able to enjoy thinking about who our users are and who our readers are and trying to figure out how I'm going to tailor a message to best get in touch with them. It's been really interesting. So we can talk a little bit more about what my process looks like for putting a blog together and how I stave off creativity stuff. And like
the first thing I want to ask is what part of that process is sort of the most creatively taxing for you?
The writing, hands down.
Yeah. It's not the research or like the ideation.
No, I like the research. I like the ideation. I feel like that's a better way for me to talk back and forth with people too. Mm-hmm. Like to bounce ideas off the blog editor, bounce ideas off my boss, not my boss, my boss or other people on my team. So the research and the ideation is fun for me. I enjoy that.
That's really interesting because it's the opposite for me.
Okay.
I really enjoy research and ideation, but it's also probably the part that I have the hardest time getting going.
Cool. Yeah. It's I have a hard time getting started writing, but it's very much like everybody has said it. Any writer that's worth any of their salt has said, you know, if you want to get writing, the secret to writing is to just start.
Yeah.
So that's what I do is I just, that's why I like to start with an outline because I can like move things around and patch them together and like put a sentence on the beginning of this thought and a sentence on the end of that thought and then try to figure out how I can, lump it around. A lot of times the big deal is just me starting to write. It's just me like putting words on the screen, which, you know, spoiler alert, I don't do a lot of writing digitally. I take notes at my meetings digitally.
Yeah.
Or I mean, analogally. Analogally?
Analogous.
Analogally.
Analogy. Analogous.
Right. Those of you that are on the screen, I'm sorry that you had to see
You're
that.
Welcome, all of you.
Oh, you're so great.
What's up, Sean?
What's
up, Wyatt?
I saw that move from 420 Vape World.
Yes.
Andy and I have a new YouTube friend. It's just about putting words, like getting the words on the paper. And then once things are rolling, I feel a little bit better. And there's always like, not necessarily a sense of relief or a weight lifted off my shoulders, but I definitely feel accomplished when I get an entire post to the point where I can port it from Ulysses into WordPress.
Yeah.
Which has been, it's that part is more rewarding than actually getting than hitting the publish button, because hitting the publish button has that anxiety that comes along with it.
Oh yeah.
Like now it's out there, now it's public.
Oh yeah. And I just set it down. Hey. Okay. So, if you're joining us just now, Will and I are broadcasting on separate screens, but we are indeed in the same studio
in
space.
In the same place. Here we are. What is up? I'm looking around.
Coming to you live from BFF.FM.
BFF.FM in the alley. Womp, womp.
Okay.
But yeah, creativity. So tell me what you do to, because I assume based on your role, much like mine, I assume that there are times when you have to write or generate or ideate or create that you're not feeling creative.
Yeah. Most of my like, quote unquote, creative writing is not specifically related directly to the things I'm writing. Like writing interface language takes a lot of thought and a lot of strategy, but it's pretty like the best option is like the most logical option usually. Uh-huh. And a lot of my job, less of my job is less about like that creation and more about finding the simplest thing, which is a whole taxing process in itself. But it's when I'm writing like for personal use, for personal reasons, or for pencil reasons, or for like something meta to do with work. Uh-huh. In a job that I was in with pencils.com, which was an amazing company and a fun job, but I realized that I never been so in a dry spell about writing about pencils as when I worked at a place where I had to write about pencils. So I've discovered that like that kind of writing is not something that really like sits with me easily.
Did you have, and this was tangentially really, did you have summer reading in high school?
Yeah,
were they like assigned books to you over the summer that you had to read in preparation for the next year?
Oh no.
Oh, okay. So we had that for honors or advanced honors English when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And that was when I learned to dislike reading.
Oh,
because anytime,
you had to.
Because yeah, I didn't get to pick what it was, and I had to. And the unfortunate part is going back now, especially as I was training to be an English teacher, and as I was trying to get my life together and get some stuff situated and squared away, I realized that a lot of those novels are actually really good. Like The Great Gatsby is a spectacular novel.
Oh yeah,
that when I had to read it before my junior year was like pulling teeth. Like I just didn't want to do it.
Did you read Catcher in the Rye?
I think I did, but I don't think it was required. I think it was one of those things that was like, you have to do a report on a book or you have to do like a presentation on a book or something like that. And I think I read it for that. I also grew up with, like a shelf full of English classics above my head.
Oh, nice.
Because I had my mom's books from when she was going to school to study to be an English teacher.
Nice.
So I had like Shakespeare anthologies, short story and nonfiction on anthologies, and then like a whole bunch of just standard novels that ran anywhere from like Catcher in the Rye to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and like all of the span in between.
So yeah.
Some stuff that I was asked to read later on in life, some stuff that I've never been asked to read. I just assume it was like the novel du jour in the 70s when my mom was in college.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's interesting that when you're forced to write, it's hard to write.
Yeah.
And when you're forced to read, it's not enjoyable. But then like you do stuff for your own self and it gets a little better.
Yeah.
So.
So how do you find ways to like not even inspiration for what to write about, but just sort of like inspiration for being creative and being motivated to be creative?
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I actually, I subscribe to a couple of different email newsletters every week.
Yeah.
I can't think of the titles of any of them off of my head, but there's,
do you do Pop Loser?
I do that too.
I love it.
I'm glad Pop Loser's back.
Yeah.
But no, I get that. But I don't get all of the, I don't remember the title of all the other ones I do, but at least two of them are based on creativity.
Yeah.
So I read those and kind of, they're cool because there's like editorializing on links and I really appreciate that kind of stuff. So I pull that stuff in there and then I read Instapaper. Creativity and being able to write and get things together are things that I'm always thinking about because it's a job now.
Yeah.
I was never really that worried about it before because I was like, oh, if I need to write, I'll just, you know, write. But now it's like, you need to write every day.
Yeah.
And I am writing something every day. If it's not a whole post, I'm working on something every day. Mm-hmm. So, I guess I don't look for as much inspiration RE creativity because I don't have a choice to be inspired RE creativity. Uh-huh. I have certain flows that I go through to make sure that I always have ideas.
Yeah.
But as far as like having the drive to be creative, it's one of those things where it's a job.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I got to make it work.
Yeah. Do you have like a, what's the word, like a tickler file with like ideas and
Yeah.
like a running list of things that you have a seedling of an idea about?
Yeah, I do that. I do one of two things for that. I either have a running note in Drafts because I can either type it or immediately dictate it from my wrist.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool. Dick Tracy watch that lets me make notes to myself. Or I just
he's talking about an Apple Watch. Folks.
I am an Apple Watch. Or I just, battery's still good, by the way, for those of you that are keeping up.
Yeah.
Or,
thanks all six of our viewers.
Thanks everybody.
Brandon_MN. Hey.
So I, either I have that or I will just make a note of an idea and make it a particular color. I make them yellow because Keep lets you pick whatever color of sticky note you want. So I just make a note in Keep that's yellow, and that's typically an idea. And then I find later if I'm going to turn it into a post or if I can relate it back to one of the products I'm supposed to be writing about or something else. So I guess it is a tickler. It's a digital one. That way I have it everywhere. Yeah. Technically, I have a tiny Baron Fig in my back pocket, and it's not the whatever they're calling the tiny ones now. It's whatever they call the tiny ones.
The Vanguard.
Used to be the
Apprentice.
The Apprentice, and that's mine's officially an Apprentice because it's actually from the pack that we had left over after we did our giveaway.
Oh, nice!
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
That's I have a dot grid Apprentice in my back pocket, and so technically that could be a paper file like that.
Yeah.
And I've been known to, especially on like road trips, like hand my notebook and a pencil to Elizabeth and say, hey, write this down.
Yeah.
But technology is one of those things.
Now that's what Siri's for.
Right. Ugh. If she can understand me, she doesn't do that a lot.
Nope.
A lot of compound words I didn't mean to say. What about you? Do you have like a set of best practices that you follow? Because you don't, idea generation as far as like post titles isn't really following what you do.
Yeah. So if I'm like in a writing slump of just my own creative writing, or if I'm trying to write something long form for work, I find that like just reading good fiction and good nonfiction is the best inspiration to write for myself that I have. I'm not somebody who can listen to music and be like, oh, I'm so inspired to write music, or like, I think that reading is like the biggest medium that I have to try to like gain creativity or inspiration from somebody else. So do a lot of reading. I'm reading. What are you doing?
I was replying.
Repositioning yourself?
Yeah. And I was replying to
Toffer. Oh, I see.
Toffer sent a note to me, and while you were talking, I typed to him, and I was trying to do it without calling attention to it over the video. But hey,
hey, what's up?
It's weird. Cause Andy and I are looking at each other, like across from each other, but also see, we've never done
right here.
Right.
Andy's right here.
But we've never done even Skype video.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like we're typically used to looking at each other in the screen. Like, look at these giant, I mean, seriously, man, this is,
it's a very large microphone.
It's phallic.
Yeah.
Like,
this is the kind that the Fort Wayne, Indiana public radio station uses.
It's a big deal. I feel like I'm on NPR. I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
Today we have with us author, activist, Will Fangy.
Yeah, I can. I'll accept both of those titles.
I'm just doing my NPR voice.
General, a man about town and troublemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I'll just mostly read for my inspiration.
That's cool.
I keep a file of some ideas. I usually keep it in Things. I just have like a little project with some files in it. But I also have an Apprentice, or probably a Pocket Vanguard in my hand right here that I keep in that billfold, which I think was one of my
recommendations. Picks, yeah.
And then I also have like a big Confidant notebook that I just like. Sometimes if I'm trying to think of a running list, I'll keep it in there. So I'll flip back through that.
One of the big things that I'm on, and I guess, I don't know, just a 90s kids. I think it's a 90s kids.
90s kids will get it.
/ 2000s techie people will get it. And that is that I still lament the death of Google Reader, because I get a lot of, enjoyment and a lot of inspiration out of RSS. So I have, is it Reader on my computer? I think that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. R-E-E-D.
Oh, no, it's actually ReadKit is what I'm using there. ReadKit. Are you filtering?
Can you see what happened? Can you see that?
Oh, my God.
What's up?
Remember that time I was trying to make a clean and clear point and Andy's head got turned upside down?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I am turning that off. Oh, shit. I did not turn it off. How do I go back to
look out, there? Instagram. Or, I'm sorry. Look out, Snapchat. Here comes Andy and his filters. No, so I have a folder of just design feeds.
Yeah.
In a folder conveniently named design.
Yeah.
That I check probably two or three times a week for multiple purposes. The first is because I'm still running the social media for UX Booth, and we like to share useful UX design articles. Mm-hmm. So I will share them to Buffer directly from ReadKit. And I also I write at least one, if not two or three newsy posts on the InVision blog every week. And I mean, they're not long. They're like 600 words. I talk about like Snapchat's UI change and the new bespoke custom font that Coca-Cola came out with. You know, I pull news posts like that, but that's where I get that information. So I go in and look at the feeds. And if something has been mentioned more than once or pulled together through like the sites that I watch that aggregate and it like shows up there, then I know it's something that is design oriented, because as I reminded many people that I work with, I don't really have a background in design.
Yeah.
I don't really have a real like design education of any kind. So I typically have to either read these posts or reach out to somebody. I'm basically what I'm trying to say. I'm very unqualified for both of my jobs.
It's all right. It's I don't think anybody, most people are not qualified for most things.
Right. It's not, it's, they call it imposter syndrome, but really it's just the
imposters.
Fact that, yeah. We're just imposters.
Yeah.
Like it's not, it's real. Yeah. Imposter syndrome is real. Imposters are real. Hashtag whatever.
Yeah. I wish that I had something really profound to say about imposter syndrome, because that would be a really good episode.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to listen to two white dudes talk about how they're not qualified to be where they are.
Well, I used to talk to some of my gifted students all the time about certain things that are more likely to happen to people who have above average mental capacity, and imposter syndrome is one of those. Imposter syndrome, perfectionism, latent anxiety over not doing your best.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing. And this is a little bit of a tangent when it comes to creativity, but imposter syndrome is this weird thing because like you're afraid that you're not, that you're not qualified to be where you are, but there's also this extrinsic pressure to do your very, very best.
Yeah.
And so you're like, I don't feel like I can ever do my best because I'm not qualified for this, but I have to push myself and do my very best, because if I don't, then I'm not living up to expectations. So it's, it's a balance, and that's a flip back and forth. And it's weird, for gifted people to deal with that. I do not deal with perfectionism, as my wife will attest. Not a thing I have.
If done is better than perfect.
Right. That's my thing. And that's huge for me. But I do suffer from imposter syndrome, especially because I'm a man who has 2 degrees and I'm doing a job that leans on neither of them. A little bit on the journalism part of the PR, but yeah, of course I feel unqualified.
There's lots of journalism in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, Pencil Picasso, welcome for joining. That's a great name.
Yeah, that's what that feeling is, Sydney. It's either imposter syndrome, where you feel like you don't deserve to be where you are, which you do, I promise. And if it's also like the intrinsic pressure to always live up to the potential that everybody's been telling you you have.
You're like the millennial Mr. Rogers.
Well, I did hang out with millennials for a small portion of my life.
Buddy, you are a millennial.
Oh, shut up.
We're the old millennials on the edge of it.
We're on the up edge of the millennials.
Upper edge of the millennial. The millennial limb.
Generation Y or Generation XY, whatever. We all see it. Hush.
100% can confirm Will is not a perfectionist, says his wife.
That's what my wife says, and she's right. I'm not even like 80% of what a perfectionist would be. I'm not even like a partial perfectionist. I'm not kitschy. What is that? I'm a little quirky. But that's not, that's not perfectionist. Let's just go into that, because I think imposter syndrome and creativity can kind of go in together.
Yeah, sure.
As a man who moved to one of the largest, one of the largest internet companies from a small town in Indiana. Did you have to deal with that much when you started at Facebook, or even when you came into Adobe and they were like, hey, we're a large big tech company and we love you?
Yeah. Definitely at Facebook. It was not only a little bit of culture shock from going from the Midwest to the Bay Area, but it was also just like being all of a sudden among like hundreds upon hundreds of the, what is happening?
Yours is making noise. Mine's silent.
Oh, that's weird. Hello.
Is it yours?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. And then that's heard myself in your headphones. There's going to be a lot of recursive echo here, folks. Yeah. I'm telling you, you'd think being in person and being in a really nice studio, the setup would be better and cooler for us, but I don't hear it anymore.
That's also, I think that sometimes coming from you. Just turn down your volume.
Mine's down to one.
Okay.
It won't go any worse than one. I think this is why we don't do a video podcast, because there's too many things to finagle with.
We're a little distracted.
It happens. Facebook imposter syndrome.
Facebook. So I was suddenly worked on a team with dozens of people who did what I did, but generally for longer and for better. People who have like come from a bigger place or something than the tiny little agency I did. So felt that pretty profoundly there. And I still to some degree feel kind of like, what am I doing in Adobe? I can't believe like I pulled one over on all these people. I don't mm-hmm. know how, which I think is the kind of the way it manifests here. But a little bit less so. And partially because for a long time, it was the thing that I did. I was the only one there who did it. So I was like, nobody is second guessing me here. Nobody's trying to like, I mean, sometimes they are and that happens, but I felt like the most qualified person to speak on the thing that I was speaking on. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, so less so at Adobe, but definitely still some degree. Like Facebook, it was pretty profound.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad at Pictochart.
Yeah.
I didn't feel underqualified there. I think a large part of that had to do with the fact that, very much of the employees were Malaysian, and a lot of what I'm doing is writing in English.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a definite advantage. I mean, even my boss she spoke four languages, but wasn't exactly what you would call super great in English.
Yeah.
So that kind of rested on me and I was good with it. But then, like, as I told this story a couple times over the week, this was the third time I applied at InVision. Like, InVision has been on my list of places to work for a long time.
Yeah.
I love what they do. We're 100% distributed, 100% remote. I love that. I know that they were doing some great things in the design field, and design is something that I'm interested in, even though I don't know anything about it. And so I got there, and especially this week, because that's why I was in LA. We had our InVision in real life, and I was down there and I met most of my team. A couple people had to stay home for kids or future kids mm-hmm. reasons. But that was kind of like everybody felt the same kind of thing. Like everybody felt a little bit of imposter syndrome because of the people that they were around, but also definitely felt like they were in the right place because everybody felt the same.
Yeah.
So, oh man, it's like recursive. Do you want to like take a shot of my video? And oh, it's yeah. like, woo. Oh, I.
Woo, look at that.
It's like a weird second dimension.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Thanks for videoing me right as I scratched my nose. That was super fun.
All right. I'm so distracted by this.
Yeah, I love that Pencil Picasso was like, what is this about?
If you're just joining us now, this is a podcast that I do with a guy named Will Fangy, who is that guy right there.
That's me.
And we talk about things that sort of lie on the intersection of analog and digital. So it's like a good companion to the Pencil podcast in that, like, we talk a lot about stationary and analog things, but we also talk about digital. Like, how do you keep a journal? Do you use Day One or do you use an actual journal? So quick introduction for somebody who just asked.
Is there an outbound link for this that you could share on our Twitter?
No, I do not know how to do that from here.
Do you think you could like just post on Twitter that we're Facebook living it and then put our user tags while I talk a little bit more about?
I don't know if I can exit this. Well,
it'll pause your video.
Okay. Well, let's
while you're not using it. See you later, Andy.
Yeah. So,
Definitely it didn't pause you with your mouth open. So that's good.
what do you want to talk about?
So we talked about imposter syndrome a little bit. We talked about trying to keep up with creativity. Do you have any particular, like, what do you, I guess we talked about, you just have a paper file. For some reason, I thought for a while that Day One, that wonderful journaling program that you and I both love so much, did they have a writing prompt for a while, or am I thinking of something different?
I think they had a writing prompt. I never used it because I wasn't super into writing mm-hmm. prompts, but.
Didn't our homies over at Baron Fig have a creative writing app?
They did. What was that called?
Like Mosaic or something? This says, yeah. I was in Andy's video. Oh no, it kicked. I might've kicked you. Okay. So as soon as your live video is paused. The entire live feed has paused when you left. Are you back?
I am. We're paused due to poor connection. We are reconnecting.
I'm requesting to reconnect. I'm hearing that the entire live feed paused. I guess we'll get back to you here in just a second.
Go live.
Accepting video. 3, 2, 1. And we're back. Oh my God, there's two of me.
Uh-oh.
And there's only one of you.
I am paused. I am paused due to poor connection.
Oh, no. Well, you were for a second. Then you popped back in. I saw your chin. You want to see what I'm seeing? Look at this. I got two of me.
Oh, you sure do.
That's recursive us. We should probably go ahead and kill this. I'm not editing this out, by the way.
Okay.
This is how love feels.
You are.
I joined. You can request. Nope. Thanks for watching. Go live. Hush your mouth. Oh man, maybe I will edit that. No, I won't. We're still talking.
Do you want to go live again?
Yeah, I think we should. There were some people watching us. We only killed a couple of people.
Checking connection.
I'm waiting on you. So
I'm live again. Okay, come watch me, Will.
So this is fun. We're doing this. This is the thing. It's actually happening.
I'm back.
My phone could light a cigarette right now. It is remarkably warm.
I'm
requesting to be in your video.
All right.
Oh, so this is what the makings of a video podcast look like. Yeah,
it ain't pretty, folks.
Well, I think here's the thing is I really feel like this encapsulates what we do.
Yeah.
We very much like make it work as it works.
And it's not like a super focused work stream.
Mm-mm, not us.
But so.
Well, typically we typically have a point in the podcast where everything kind of goes off the rails. We're just going to spend more time off the rails.
Yeah, we're cutting loose. This is you're on vacation.
I'm on vacation. At some point we might we should do some sort of dot grid after dark.
With
the topic that you and I had.
Do you remember when we tried that, Will?
Yeah,
with your brother.
I remember when you tried that with my brother and I. You and Chosswall. Andy and Three Buck Chuck made really good friends for a podcast.
Katie was out of town and I was just like drinking. And then we were like, hey, let's record a drunk podcast. Andy did not release that podcast. No,
Andy was way drunker than either Rob or myself. So
I don't know what happened.
It did. It went poorly.
It was very poor.
I think I deleted those audio files. I probably did.
Probably a good idea.
I think we talk about how I don't keep anything for more than like 2 or 3 months.
Okay. So back on track. We're talking about
apps that we use to kind of keep that creative flow going. We're talking about it wasn't Mosaic. I really feel like Baron Fig had one for a while that they just discontinued.
Yeah,
using. I don't know if it was in beta or what.
Yeah, there was Muse, which never really left beta. So
right.
That was more like a discussion thing.
That might be what I'm thinking.
But they had one called I think it was Mosaic, and it had little writing prompts, and you could write them into your like little internal journal, I believe, like into a like almost a little keep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, Elizabeth's saying we're echoey again.
Okay. I don't think that. Here, say something.
You don't think it's maybe coming from your end, or is it coming from my end?
I think we're both very quiet.
Okay. That's a thing. Sorry, everybody.
No problem. I'll keep mine over here. What else should we talk about?
I don't know.
Yeah,
guys, you got to come to San Francisco and come bother Andy.
Yeah,
he's got all the best ideas. I rode 4 different kinds of public transit yesterday and didn't get peed on once.
Oh yeah,
it's a whole brand new experience. I didn't.
We took the cable cars up to Fisherman's Wharf, as one has to do when one is first in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and walked around there a little bit, and then we took the F Market, the like old fashioned streetcars, back over to the Castro neighborhood.
Right.
And then we took a bus down to where I live. So.
No naked people in the Castro, which
I know
was a surprise.
So disappointed. I wanted Will to experience his first naked person in the Castro, but it has not happened yet. You still have a couple days here.
Right. So. And we did eat in the Castro for breakfast this morning, and I saw a video of a pencil sketch of a naked 70s style man riding a dolphin, which was unique.
It was very unique.
Diner was good.
Yeah. Orphan Andy's.
Highly recommend Orphan Andy's in the Castro. We're a fan of that. We did some beer garden yesterday, did some burritos last night. We're doing some hot pot tomorrow.
Yeah. Gonna watch the Olympics tonight. So now you can.
Oh man, the echo's apparently really bad.
Okay.
Everybody's.
Well, guys, we're going to stop living this. So
we're going to stop living it on Andy's side. Will's going to pick up with it here in just a minute, since Will has followers. Andy doesn't.
Oh, boo.
At Will Fangy. All right, we're gonna put me back up and go live again, because this is essentially how I'm staying in touch with my wife right now. So that's not us, that's out in the hallway. Go live. I hit the button. Start live video. Let's do this thing. You guys can look at my super nerdy t-shirt, or sorry for those of you that are hearing this in only the audio version, there's a lot of video things happening right now that are not at all pertaining to you.
Video things.
Yeah, right here. live video things.
Okay, yeah.
I'm live streaming. That's what it's called you see pictures with sound.
You're talking on a screen. To the listeners of this podcast.
Talking to listeners.
AKA most of the people who are
right. Most of the earbuds that are hearing this right now are people that are listening to the podcast because
we're a podcast.
We get like 500 or so. Is it 500? I don't even know. The number has gone up since we decided we were going to record more than once a year.
Squarespace, where are you at?
Yeah, actually, as we are sitting here, got my debit card notification that I just paid for another month of Squarespace.
Well, I meant like them as a sponsor.
Right. Oh, that too. Because
we're a growing podcast.
Yeah. Well, and then the funny part is we don't host the podcast.
We do not.
Square on.
Well, don't say that if you want them to sponsor us.
We would. I'd move it back in a heartbeat. Sorry, Simplecast. We'll work it out. Let's see. San Francisco is great. Everybody should come out here and bother Andy. If you go to LA, watch out when you walk on Hollywood Boulevard. There could be poop. We'll learn that the hard way. Mm. Not personally, but definitely somebody on my team. What else do we have to say about creativity? I don't know. I feel like I've never, do you consider yourself a creative?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't. I would say the bulk of what I do at work is like, it's a lot of like, when I say technical writing, I don't mean like, you know, like long technical writing.
Not like user docs for programming.
It's like, very short form and it's very like low volume output. But, and I have to like create in order to do it, but I would not say I'm like typically a creative per se, especially not in the way that like an agency might define it.
Right.
But I definitely like feel like I need to have some level of inspiration and creativity, like sparkling in my head in order to make it happen.
That makes sense.
I definitely have days where I just sort of like sit there and stare at the screen and then go look at Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I try not to do too often, but sometimes that happens.
Right. So, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily, I would consider my role a creative role.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I would necessarily consider myself a creative person. I would say this is the most creativity that I've had to, well, teaching takes creativity.
Yeah.
I feel like teaching takes work and creativity and you've got to figure it out. But not generative creativity.
Yeah.
Like I've got to come up with different ways to present things if it's not working out well, but I wouldn't necessarily say that there's a whole lot of like creative writing or creative generation that I have to do there. But now this role I'm in, I would say is a more creative role. But I'm not necessarily a creative person. Elizabeth is super creative. Hi, dear. Again, super creative. She's very good at what she does. She's very in tune with aesthetics and style and things that just look good and make sense and achieve business goals all at the same time. And I guess part of what I do has to do with that. But I guess that's where my imposter syndrome really strikes, is because I've always felt myself as more like an analytical person.
Yeah.
Like I've always really liked English and social studies, but I've always been better at science and math because they're exact and they're specific and they're precise and creativity is not that. Yeah. So I guess I don't consider myself a creative because I don't think I'm very good at being creative.
You're so good at being creative.
Well, I feel like I feel like I don't necessarily have to try as hard as I used to, but I think that that's some, I feel like it's a muscle. I feel like creativity is a muscle.
Yeah.
And it's some, that it's so corny and it's so cliche to say, but I feel like creativity is a muscle and something you've got to continue to work with and continue to work on.
You got to take steroids.
Yeah. Creativity steroids.
That muscle.
What would you consider to be creativity steroids?
Marijuana.
Marijuana. Yeah. It's a
LSD. No,
no
drugs.
Don't do hard drugs.
Yeah.
Not hard drugs.
No,
just drugs that God made.
Or any drugs.
But not cocaine.
Yeah.
But maybe marijuana. Hey, it's California. So
I don't know. Yeah, I would consider reading works of creativity or viewing works of creativity or like looking at other, like whatever it is that like the medium inspires you the most, listening to music, looking at art, reading magazines, watching TV.
Reading medium is the medium that inspires you the most.
Yes.
What's up, medium? You can sponsor medium? A podcast too.
This podcast sponsored by Medium.
Right.
We're going to write a think piece about this later. It's going on Medium.
I actually have another piece about recording and generating podcasts. I can move over to Medium from the nerduprising.co blog.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
guy.
I wrote a pretty sizable post about the process that Rob and I went through at that point when we were doing stuff and things with Rob. I wrote about the process that we went through, like from everything from like what equipment we were using to what software we were using and how he's mixing it down and everything else. I'm being told via the chat that Bob Ross is some creativity steroids. So it's not just like that Bob Ross is like, Bob Ross is both the steroids and the administrator of the steroids.
Oh yeah.
Like he's
the whole shebang.
Have you seen those playlists on YouTube?
The Russian Olympic doctors.
Seen the playlists on YouTube?
Uh-uh.
All the Bob Ross seasons on YouTube.
Oh, they're also on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of thing that, like, if you want to be creative and feel artistically creative, that's the thing you can pull up and do. If you want to take a really bomb nap, also a good thing to, like, tune into.
My favorite is when he was raising a baby squirrel, and he would cut to scenes of his little baby squirrel, like him trying to feed it.
What?
Yeah, I'll have to find the season. But at one point, yeah, he's just talking. He's painting, and I think he's doing something tedious. And he was like, this seems like a really good opportunity to show you my baby squirrel. And he rescued it, fell out of a nest. And there's a video of him with like a little tiny like eyedropper with like a little nipple on it that he was feeding this baby squirrel.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
His squirrel's name is Gary the squirrel. He named Gary.
Hey, Gary.
from Dog Thoughts. Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Creativity steroids, marijuana. That's horrible.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you? Our audience isn't 21 plus. We can't say anything about that. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think of like museums or art galleries or anything. I mean, it's because I'm not a visual person.
Yeah. But sometimes I do just sort of like a 5 minute sort of like free flowing writing session.
Oh man. No, stream of thoughts. I'm horrible like that.
Yeah.
Do you edit as you write?
No. Yeah. Yes. Mostly I do. Yeah. But this is specifically not trying not to edit.
Right. And the Hemingway.
Yeah. And generally, eventually it just results in the words falling out of my head about the words falling out of my head, like the process. And so, yeah, I'm like, okay, this is dried up now.
I had some stream of thought journaling for a while when I was first doing my cognitive behavioral therapy, when I was trying to ease myself out of my anxiety and stuff like that. Hmm. One of my students is telling me that her mind is very corrupted by the mere mention of weed. Oh, so congratulations.
You're welcome.
Oh, don't do that.
fragile little sensibilities. Right.
So I was talking about how I pulled what creativity steroids would be for me. I don't necessarily, I will, like if I read a particularly good book, and I don't read very much nonfiction, but if I read a good fiction, that's written in a particular way, that will influence some of the things that I do, not necessarily with work. Mm-hmm. But I have a couple of Dungeons and Dragons sessions. Mm-hmm. And, one of the sessions we're doing something called Fate Core, and it's kind of set in a little bit more of a futuristic setting, not like super future, but a little bit more so. And one of the guys in my group just finished reading, I think it's Atlantis, mm-hmm. which is the second book that the author of The Martian wrote, Andy Weir.
Yeah.
It might not be called Atlantis. So it starts something with an A. Yeah. And he was basing his character that he was playing off of somebody in that book. I do stuff like that sometimes. I will call back to my Dungeons and Dragons character right now in the group when we played D&D is actually named after a character on the Adventure Zone.
Hmm.
Which is one of the McElroy Brothers podcasts. As Andy pointed out last night, as we watched Monster Factory, endorsement for Monster Factory on Polygon. It's two of the McElroy Brothers completely taking advantage of
Bort Sampson.
Yeah, Bort Sampson completely taking advantage of the character creators on different video games. And
just truly grotesque characters.
They're hideous. They make you feel physically and mentally uncomfortable. So I introduced Andy to a couple of those last night after Katie went to bed. So, so he's named after some people on the Adventure Zone. I do find on occasion, I guess this is a creative outlet, right?
Yeah.
And so I do find some general podcast inspiration, like Pencils and Pixels as a recurring thing. Was it inspiration from somewhere? Mm-hmm. Not just something I just came up with. I feel like it's because other people have it gives some structure to our episode. At the very least, it gives us a solid point between what we're doing for follow up when we're going to talk about the actual topic. How far in are we?
We are at 102:30 right now.
Okay. So Andy is driving, which is what we called this, driving and passengering. It's a thing now.
Yeah. It's totally a thing.
Typically, I'm recording my own side, and I'm the one who takes the file and does the mix down and everything else. But since we're recording on one file this time, we just put Andy behind the desk. It's super cool. It's like a super cool, like the old desk that you popped up. And I guess there used to be a typewriter there, you think?
Yeah, this is made to look like a private eye office.
Right, very much.
There's like a hat rack in the corner with fedoras on it.
All the way down to the extra spot in the wall by Andy, there's like a secret compartment with like a fake toy gun in it.
Yeah.
In case, you know, your client comes in and says they're not going to pay in this fake.
You're going to pay up.
Detective agency.
We're going to make you pay up.
It says, yeah, it does say existential detectives. I'm getting some feedback that from my lovely wife, the things that mediums that inspire you creatively completely relate to the medium in which you work. That makes sense.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, because Elizabeth says she's inspired by Pinterest and inspiring spaces and travel, and she does a lot of creative stuff that sort of, if not directly, indirectly sort of reflects that and works along with that. Mm-hmm. So that, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I should... I was talking about this with somebody I work with, Casey, one of our other writers, and I was talking with her about, I don't read many blog posts anymore.
Yeah.
Because I spend all day in blog post world.
Yeah.
And so I'm leaning more towards even most of my reading now has just been like either a really shitty, like John Grisham novels, mm-hmm. Which we talked about last time. That was my pick last time, was cheap paperbacks. Or like some nonfiction based on a topic that has nothing to do with anything I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like I'm reading a book right now called A Stranger in the Woods. That's about the North Lake Hermit that lived in the Maine woods for 27 years and only spoke to one person once. And then he said, hi.
Yeah.
And he subsisted by like breaking into summer cabins and things like that. So,
yeah.
That has nothing to do with my, like, I look more at reading as an escape. I wish I could use it as more of an inspiring thing, but
did I tell you about the, speaking of cheap paperbacks, my guilty pleasure read.
No,
not too long ago.
No, you can tell me.
I am embarrassingly a Dan Brown fan.
We've mentioned that.
Yeah, I love me some Da Vinci Code and all that stuff. Even though I know they're super formulaic, it's the same story over and over and over.
Well,
through all of his books,
as Sydney would tell you, all stories are formulaic.
I mean, there is that, but this one very particularly is the same story over and over. And his latest Da Vinci Code style book is called Origin.
Okay.
And it is, but it's about like an Elon Musk character who figures out like the true way, like that, where like mankind came from and where we're going, mm-hmm. That does not involve religion. And then all of the like religious people in the world are trying to like assassinate him. And then Mr. Robert Langdon, Professor Robert Langdon,
right.
Has to go like, solve a mystery with a beautiful woman by himself.
So it's still a recurring character thing.
Oh yeah. Well, he's the actual recurring character, but he has found himself in this exact situation like six times already.
Yeah, I've never seen the movies, never touched the books.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good, like cheap paperback style read.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about who the other author is that I deal a lot with. She's the guy that wrote all of the Bourne books. Robert Ludlum.
Ludlum. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Cool. It'd sound like a Muppet. Sesame Street. Banana. Banana.
That was amazing.
Yeah. That might be the intro.
I think we have our intro.
But yeah, so that's kind of how I mean, I get my ideas. I don't necessarily know that I would call them. I get inspiration. And yeah, creativity is just about working that muscle.
Yeah.
Working that muscle.
It's true.
It's about the only muscle I can work. I don't know. I could say that. I wish I could. I might be able to do it on my watch. Speaking of muscles, San Francisco's a walking city, which I knew coming in. But I figured with it being as steep, we would do a little bit more. It is 3:30 here. And my watch tells me, I don't know if it's going to show this. 8,008. Every time I look at my watch, it goes up another 500 steps. Nice. I don't even know how this is working. Now it's going to turn itself off. But yeah, this is a walking city. And I am currently at an outrageous number of steps for the day. I set my move goal 8 days in a row. There's no such thing as a scrawnier, more stressed version of me, Sydney. I'm getting a note from her saying that her world literature teacher is more stressed and it's a scrawnier, more stressed version of me. No, there is no such thing as a scrawnier, more stressed version of me.
I believe that is a literal dumpster fire.
Yeah, that is just me. a scrawnier, more anxious portion of me is just me 3 years ago before I started putting on all this weight and getting well medicated. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's creativity. That's a little bit off the rails. I'm almost done with my boxed water.
Hello.
Anyway, hello, boxed water. I guess that's backwards to those of you on the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost out of that. So
pure gin.
Oh, that would explain why I'm feeling the way I feel right now, which is magical.
Yes. So should we button this up for the nice folks?
We'll go ahead and wrap this up. Again, we're a little all over the place. I mean, we've been very excited to be in the same room as each other anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, the two of us, we just feed off of each other. It's even worse when we're together. We actually set a small fire in the cash drawer earlier and then just took off running. We're horrible influences for each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you all for your patience, with basically this noise. That me slapping my knees the entire time. All the background noise and the little bit of deviation that we had in the middle when our live video went dead.
And we just sat there and talked our way through it.
Yeah, we just hummed our way through it. I could edit it out, but I believe anyone who listened to this podcast and has listened to, I would say not even the majority, but at least like 20% of the episodes knows that I don't edit out much.
Done is better than perfect.
It's too much work. Like I use Audition and it doesn't always move the clips the right way. And then Elizabeth and I will listen to it in the car and I'll be like, oh, like I can hear it. She can't hear it, but I can hear the audio is like just off by like a third of a second. Elizabeth is pointing out Squee that we are so in love, which I mean, it's hard not to love us.
Yeah,
I do look eerily more like Andy since I cut my beard off. Thank God the stubble's coming back. But I'm like a shorter, slightly more rotund version of Andy.
What you're saying is we took our bromance to the next level.
We did. And we're not sleeping in the same room, which is good because Katie's there. But yeah. I do sneak in and watch you sleep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, you leave the door open. That's your fault. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and button this up for the nice people. If somebody wanted to. Yeah, right. This is just going to get weirder and weirder. If someone wanted to. Oh, wait. The disclaimer that we know what we're now giving at the end of every episode.
Yes.
Is that Andy and I are available on the internet and we can be a safe space for you to chat with us and talk to us if you are having a bad day or you just feel like you need somebody to talk to. Because this world that we live in right now is a little bit stressful and a little bit anxiety inducing. And to be honest with you, a tiny bit of a clusterfuck. And if we can do anything to help mitigate those circumstances for you, we encourage you to do so. You can reach out to us cumulatively, collectively is what I really want to do, on Twitter at @.gridpodcast that goes pings both of our phones pings multiple apps on our
multiple
phones.
Devices.
We were talking yesterday. We're both using like three different Twitter apps on our phones.
It's true.
If you want to get in touch with me personally, because you don't want Andy to see it, although he probably will anyway, I'm on Twitter at @WillThangy. My DMs are open. Slide up on in there if that's a thing that's not super creepy. And you can come and chat with me. I'm on Instagram at @WillThangy too. If you want to see some great pictures of tacos from LA that I did a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
A couple days ago. Yeah. God, it feels like a couple weeks ago. What about you? What if people want to get in touch with you on the Twitters?
I am on Twitter at my first initial last name, AWELF as in Frank, LE. I have no idea if my DMs are open. That's probably something I should check out.
Well, I'll make sure Andy's DMs are open before we slide out of here today.
All right. And then, on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that shit on the same.
Yep.
Wait,
me too.
Oh, you said the F word earlier. I can say shit.
Oh yeah. Fuck me. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. And then also I'm at wealthy.com and andy.coffee.
Andy.coffee. And I'm at nerduprising.co, although there's not much there about me unless you want me to give you some help marketing and or copywriting, which is not a lot of freelance work I'm taking on right now. But hey,
make a compelling case.
Everything's got a price. Yep. So yeah, and .grid, we can use spectrum.chat, I think, or spectrum. Is it spectrum.attached or spectrum.fm?
Spectrum.chat
or spectrum.fm.
That's
link will
the
be
podcast
correct.
Network.
Okay.
I think.
Well, we have our own podcast network. I don't either. .grid.symbolcast.fm.
.grid.irl.party.
.grid.xyz.
All of them.
.grid is not just for .men.
All the great .grids.
All the great .grids.
.grid.nation.
So, yeah. Can you do .grid.nation?
I'm sure I can.
Prepare yourselves. Andy's going to spend another $3 on another one. We'll have all of these links in the show notes. Thank you for your tolerance and patience. We don't know when we're going to be able to do another one of these, quite possibly sometime this year, quite possibly sometime this quarter, depending on when my lovely wife and I decide to come out west.
Ooh, we'll have to get her and Katie on with us.
Oh man, a four-way podcast to talk about creativity. What shit?
They're gonna outshine us.
We ruined it. We talk about creativity this time. We talk about then.
We did.
Talk about being married to assholes. They are not. Oh God, that could go badly. I love you. You're married to assholes. We're not married to assholes. Yes. Can we wrap? We just got to go.
Yep. See you guys. We love you. Hi, Harry Marks.
Hi, Harry Marks.